Welcome back to the Ryan Kelly Morning After. Now, back to Tim, Jim, and Doug, live from the Gateway Buick GMC Studios on the all-new 590 The Fan, 105.7 HD2 FM, and InsideSTL.com.
It's Ryan Kelly Morning After, 590 The Fan, KFNS, Tim McKernan, Jimmy the Cat Hayes, Douglas Sullivan Vaughn with you. Send your emails in. Email of the day brought to you by Hot Shots, coming your way at 9:50. We have that Hot Shots email of the day at 9:50, joined by Ray Hartman at 8 o'clock. Kelly Chase, presented by Petromart at 8:30. And Doug, as the Blues and Capitals get underway tonight, I don't know if there is a better source for Washington sports information and opinion than Mia Khalifa. 1.4 million Twitter followers.
What about Tony Kornheiser?
No.
No?
1.4 million Twitter followers, 300,000 Instagram followers, and a very, very loyal audience. And she has hot takes on sports topics.
She must know pucks.
And she is a big Caps fan, and she joins us right now on the Appliances Counter phone lines. Mia, good morning.
Good morning.
What's up? How are you?
I'm good. How are you? I can barely hear you.
Oh, no. What's going on? Plowhawk, what's going on? Hold on. I'm going to chastise my board op. I'm going to air out dirty laundry right
plow
now.
Plowcap, please.
I apologize. Plowcap. Plowcap, what's going on?
It looks to be fine on my end, me. I'm not blaming you or anything.
Sounds like you're throwing me under the bus a little bit. You're throwing under the bus a little bit.
Now I can hear you. You're talking a little bit louder.
You're on speakerphone.
Yes.
Maybe that's why you can't hear us.
Well, pick up the phone.
Okay.
Pick up the phone.
All right, Mia. What's up? How are you? You good?
Yes, I'm good.
Right. So, huge Capitals fan, correct?
Diehard Capitals fan, that's right.
Yeah. The Blues, team that it seems like when the Blues have been on their runs, you go, oh, the Blues had the best regular season. Capitals, one of the best regular seasons. Maybe they'll meet in the Stanley Cup Finals, of course, unfortunately. Hasn't happened for either franchise, both kind of in the same category.
I didn't know you guys haven't won one either.
Yeah.
No.
Yeah.
Ooh.
Yeah, 50 years, Mia, and they went to the Stanley Cup Finals in the first 3 years, but haven't been back since.
The finals. We've never made it past the first round.
I thought the Caps played in the finals against the Red Wings like in the 90s.
I could have sworn we've never made it past the first round.
Doug, that's would like you, somebody needs on. To, would some, Doug, would you, can, would somebody, look, nurse?
Doug.
Well.
Doug.
Okay.
Do we need a fact checker?
Yeah,
we do. Capitals made the Stanley Cup Finals in 1998.
Well, look at that. I guess I can't call myself a super fan anymore.
You were like a kindergartner at that time.
That was before I was born, though. It was before I was born.
Ah, boy, that smarts a little bit.
In your lifetime, they've never made it past the first round.
Yeah. Exactly. Okay, I'll start saying that. In my lifetime, they've never made it past the first round.
And that is accurate. And they always have, like, the best regular seasons, too, or one of the best regular seasons.
Yeah, I mean, but the President's Trophy curse is always looming over that best regular season record. But
we've had that here, too, sister. We've had that here, too. We lost in the first round. I just did a wee on the Blues. But they lost in the first round after winning the President's Trophy themselves. So that's happened to the Capitals a few times?
Yeah. That happened last year. We lost in the first round to the Penguins and won the President's Trophy.
That's the way it goes sometimes, Doug. So now here in St. Louis, of course, TJ Oshie was a big part of the Blues rebuild.
American hero, first of all. Let me just thank St. Louis for him.
Good for you, Mia. That's right. American hero. You're damn right. What he did against the Russians, amen. Are you a big Oshie fan?
I am, yes. Of course I'm a big Oshie fan. I'm a Capitals fan. Inherently, I'm an Oshie fan. He's one of the heroes on the team. Him, Backstrom, Ovi, Andre Burakovsky, my obscure favorite player.
Yeah, that's what I hear. That's the reason why I asked about Oshie, because I knew that you had a quote-unquote obscure favorite player. And that's what I was setting you up for. What is your deal with the quote-unquote obscure favorite player?
I feel like I have a good eye for potential, and I've got my eye set on him pretty early. I feel like he's going to be the next Swede on the Capitals to get that gold stick that Backstrom just got.
Now, does he happen to be an attractive gentleman?
He is mildly attractive, and he might use to model in Sweden before he played hockey.
Yeah. Don't raise your voice with that, sister.
Sounded familiar.
Yeah, that was my Jiminy Glick impression. I had a feeling that might be the case. That's why I felt like it was... Are you attracted oft times to Swedish gentlemen?
You know what? Not particularly. I'm not particularly attracted to athletes, but God, he is just so... He's got a little baby face. He's adorable. I just want to spoon feed him.
Okay,
spoon
calm down now.
I got a baby face too, Mia, if you're interested.
Okay, calm down there, Plowsy.
Good work. I like that. I like the work. Everybody's firing on all cylinders.
So, Mia, have you had a chance to meet him yet?
I have not.
No, really?
But I am going to the Capitals Stars game, and hopefully I'll show up early enough for warm-ups, and they'll throw me a puck like one of those Make-A-Wish kids.
Nice.
Now you cover them, and you are part of the media now. Why don't you just get a credential and go down and do interviews?
They're not too quick to give media passes to straight up like just online media sites. Like this is fan-sided. They consider more of a blog, unlike let's say Fox Sports or Bleacher Report and stuff like that. So they're not that quick to give you a media pass.
Now, I'm reading you were born in Lebanon and then you live in Miami now. Is that accurate?
I was born and raised in Lebanon, but now I live in Texas. I used to live in Miami.
So how does the Washington Capitals connection come in?
I was raised in D.C.
Doug?
Oh, okay.
Why don't you read some more?
I went to college in Texas, and then I moved to Miami for work, and then I moved back to Texas.
All right, but you don't like the Dallas Stars.
No, I live in Austin.
Okay, pardon me.
Why do you have to attack our guest?
Just trying to
figure
it out.
Why are you attacking me,
Doug? Just trying to figure things out, that's all.
Now, when you say you went to Miami for work, what were you doing in Miami?
Well, after I graduated, I moved there and I worked as a paralegal. And then for a little bit, I was an accountant for a construction firm. And then you know how the story goes with work.
Doug?
Yeah, well,
it's similar to Doug's story, I think, isn't it?
Yeah, you were in Miami too for work.
I was in Miami, and then you know
what part of Miami?
I lived in Miami Shores.
Oh, okay, that's like close to where I lived. I lived like near Aventura.
Oh yeah, I was in the Quayside.
Okay.
Yeah.
Did you guys ever cross paths?
Well, I was there like 30 years ago.
And then you started performing.
And the adult industry knocked on my door as well.
Doug was number one. You don't know this. Doug was number one on Pornhub as well, Mia.
You know what? I actually did know that. He's one of my favorites.
Yeah. It was going to be our little secret, though.
Not anymore. Plowhawk, now you are a big, big fan of Mia's, aren't you?
I am. I like the ethnicity. I like the erotic, the exotic and the erotic. And you've only been in the business.
Word.
You only been in the business 3 months. Have you ever think about getting back into it? And if so,
oh, God, no.
Okay, all right, good.
Seems like that's a pretty firm no.
Good.
And on the
hard no.
And shifting topics, isn't there one? I know you said you weren't particularly into athletes. Is there one particular athlete in any sport that you would quote make a run at?
This guy in the Capitals, I think.
Well, outside of the outside of the gentleman on the Capitals.
A good question. That's a good question. It would not be a capital, actually. Chris Hogan from the Patriots, just because I love that he's a lacrosse player. That's my weakness, lacrosse players.
Lacrosse player is the weakness. The cat, you played lacrosse. Lacrosse players.
Yeah, but that was 74 years ago.
But still, another thing in common.
They still use wooden sticks.
They did, didn't they, the cat? You were playing in upstate?
No, actually, I was playing when they first came out with the metal shaft.
Oh, is that?
Brine
oh,
wow. Superlights.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah. Now they do the carbon fiber ones and all kinds of crazy things.
Yep. Me, I saw yesterday you went after a guy who got a tattoo of you, but the tattoo really wasn't that great.
Well, it's not that it wasn't great. It's that it was a big mistake to get in the first place. Like, why would you do that? You are setting yourself up for failure for the future. I don't praise him and thank him for doing that. I'm not going to encourage other people to do something that idiotic. So yeah, maybe I was a little mean, but I feel like I was mean for a good reason this time. Like I'm trying to save other kids from making the same mistake.
From getting tattoos of you?
Yeah.
Now, why did you get out of the business? I know why a lot of women get into the business. And we've heard stories from some of the girls we've had on. We just had a girl retire on the air. Jessie Jane broke the news on our air.
Yeah, 2 days ago. Big get.
Yeah, other girls have said, you know, they got into it for the wrong reason. And, you know, but you pretty much said, I didn't enjoy it. I did it because I wanted to see what it was like, and I really hated it. Was that the reason? I mean, what were your, you know, your thought process going in? Did it not live up to the expectations of what you thought porn was going to be?
I kind of jumped into it without really considering and weighing the outcome and the consequences of it. I kind of started it, or I kind of did it in the first place because I wanted to be slightly rebellious after, you know, being a really good girl in college and graduating early and just really concentrating on my studies and myself. I decided to do something that was kind of my dirty little secret, and then it blew up in my face, and the whole world found out, and my family found out, and my country came out and made a statement about me, my country as a whole. So that was kind of rattling. It wasn't what I wanted it to be. It wasn't what I intended to happen. The blowback wasn't worth it. That's why.
And Mia, what fascinates me the most about porn and porn stars in general, I follow a lot of the up-and-comers on Twitter, are the weird, creepy fans. Do you have any stories or anybody sending you any creepy letters or any, like, hair? Or are they sending you Tiffany bracelets? Or do you have any stories about that?
I value my privacy to the highest extent. No one knows my address. No one knows my name. Whenever, if someone comes up to me in public and asks for a picture, I tell them either nicely or not so nicely, no, please leave me alone. I don't really entertain the whole fan thing because I don't want people thinking it's okay to come up to me, especially if I'm alone, like grocery shopping at night alone, walking to my car in the parking lot. I've had grown men come up to me and follow me, and that's kind of unsettling for a young woman.
Yeah, absolutely. I understand where you're coming from there. Well, I saw you tweet out or retweet that you were going to be on our show. And, yeah, I mean, Twitter, especially when you have 1.4 million Twitter followers, that just makes it exponentially more trolly because you're going to be catching a wider net of people. But you get hate mentions because people are like, when are you going to get back into porn? This sucks. Don't talk about, you know.
I post a picture of my dogs and people ask me how many sexually transmitted diseases I've given them.
Sometimes get texts about that too on this show, unfortunately, but totally different thing. So, yeah, that's, I mean, you're transitioning now from... you know, adult, something you left after 3 months to doing work with Fansided and writing and radio. How is this whole process going for you? Is there a stigma attached to you because you did porn for 3 months that people aren't welcoming you in the sports media industry? Or are you finding that because of the name recognition and the brand name that you have, along with all the social media, that you are being welcomed? How's that playing for you right now?
I'm very thankful that the response has been, it's been really good. Like, I had Le'Veon Bell, he reads my article every week, and, you know, he retweets it, and he praises that, you know, I actually am a real sports fan and thanks me for watching him and all that stuff. But I think the reason it's been pretty easy is because my expectations, I went in with very low expectations so that I wouldn't be disappointed when I would have the door closed in my face a lot. And I'm very thankful that that really hasn't happened yet. Everyone's been really welcoming and really nice. And when someone does say something like kind of rude or vulgar as a reply, I've had people stand up for me, and that really does mean a lot.
Did you give any thought to just kind of changing your name? And you're young enough, you could probably have wiped the slate clean and just kind of start over and try to put that in your past completely?
You know what? It's really not worth it. At that point, I would just go into hiding and get rid of all of it and try and find another job as an accountant or a paralegal. But I'm kind of capitalizing on the momentum I have right now and trying to turn it and steer it in my favor. And I think I'm doing a pretty good job at that.
And Mia, I don't know if you follow Lisa Ann's career. She also went from porn to doing sports media. Do you kind of look at her as the benchmark and somebody that you looked up to going into the sports media, or you just did this because you enjoyed the work itself?
No, not at all. I don't really follow her path or try and do what she's doing. I kind of do my own thing. And, I mean, she's doing it completely different, and so am I. So I don't think – it's kind of like apples and oranges, even though they seem similar to the blind eye.
So when you would interview for jobs, was that something that came – I would imagine it was something that came up. And if so, how did the people you were interviewing with, how did they treat it?
Actual office job I had since the whole adult industry thing was I got the job through a friend, and they kind of vouched for me, and, you know, the CEO of the company was very, very nice, and he he had a troubled past when he was my age, and somebody gave him a second chance, and so he kind of just wanted to pay it forward and all of that. So he was very supportive, and I'm thankful for him.
Are you talking? Have your parents talked to you since? I know when this all came about, they pretty much disowned you, along with your country. Are they talking to you at all?
We're not on that good of terms yet.
No. Does that bother you? Is that something you want to happen, or you don't care?
Of course. I love my family, but I do understand that I hurt them exponentially, and it's going to take time, and I'll give them the space and the time that they need.
Can you go back there to Lebanon?
I'm not sure. I think I can. I really think I can. I just feel like if I go, I would be bombarded because I'd be too recognizable.
Yeah, probably not worth it.
But I mean, I would imagine to be scared. Would you be scared? I mean, wouldn't you be scared? Wouldn't you be scared? Wouldn't you be scared?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Exactly. I would be scared of either people coming up to me for either a positive or a negative reason, and I'm not willing to risk that just for some really good hummus.
Yeah.
And did you know, excuse me, going in that you were going to get a lot of backlash for that, or did you just kind of read it, see it's a harmless scene and go with it, and then were you surprised with all the negativity attached to that after the fact?
The first thing I said when they walked in with the script was, you guys are going to get me killed. That was the only thing and the first thing that came out of my mouth, and I remind them of that every single time I see the producer. I look at him and I say, didn't I tell you? Didn't I tell you? You guys are going to get me killed. Now we've got ISIS going after me. You happy?
Yeah, that's not necessarily what you want. So when they come to you with the script, and it's the script where you're going to wear the hijab and you're going to engage in sexual activity, are you in a position to say, I'm absolutely not doing that? Or at the time you're thinking, oh, what the hell, I'll do it. What's going through your mind outside of telling the producer, you're going to get me killed?
It was the latter. It was okay, you know, people still aren't really going to find out about it. No one's really going to care. I'll be fine.
Yeah, well, I guess that makes sense. Now,
in hindsight, that was not the smartest move, but...
Right. Yeah, well, hindsight, you know what they say about hindsight. Now, in the 3 months that you performed, did you ever do Girl, Girl?
Okay.
What's wrong with that? I'm asking, because I didn't know if she did, and I'm not sure. That's
I think I saw.
Did, and a lot of... I know on my Wikipedia it says that I have 23 videos out, but a lot of them are really just me being in the video when other girls doing something, or a girl or things like that.
Yeah, you did a lot with the Bang Brothers, didn't you?
Okay.
Yes, they were family.
They were what, Mia?
Yes, I was a contract girl for them.
There you go.
Now, watching the videos, and I have, you seem to enjoy it. Now, did you? You know, and a lot of girls don't when they first get into it. They're kind of timid and, you know, I'll do this because I need the money. But, you know, you seem to enjoy it. Were you sexually active young, at a young age?
No, but that's a weird question.
It is kind of weird.
Why is it weird? Because
that's
you
a really creepy question.
Why is it creepy?
Well, I mean, I think I understand because
you sound like Biff.
Because you're underage at the time.
No, I don't mean underage, but...
But if she's born in...
Weren't you like 20 when you started?
No, it's... That comes with that question.
Heads up, man. Doug. There's a Westie on the loose. Right. But no, that because she was born in 98, and therefore she at the most can be 19 years old.
Well, I thought she was like 23 years old.
Oh, well, that's the reason.
23.
Oh, you are 23. I thought you said you were born in 98.
No, I was 93.
So if you're 23 and you just started doing it and you only did it for 3 months, you could have been 18, 19 at a young age. I'm not saying young. I'm saying legal.
Okay, well, then I'm just saying I'm uncomfortable with the question.
Well, then don't answer it.
Oh, now, Iggy, don't. We're now going to get sideways. We don't want to get sideways with the guest. We don't want to get sideways with
Thank you.
Guest. There it is. All right, Mia. We'll let
you. Thank you.
Okay, we'll let you go. I think something happened. I don't
What's
know.
What's that?
Are you there?
Yeah, I'm here.
Okay, I thought there was a... I was hearing noise.
I thought the dog broke something.
I heard a dog bark, and then I heard a ringing, and I didn't know if something had happened.
I'm in an elevator. Sorry.
Oh, no problem. Where are you? Are you in Austin right now?
Yes.
All right. Very good. So, regarding what you're doing with Fansided, where can people see you? Where can they read you? Where can they hear you?
Fansided.com. Twitter is Mia Khalifa. Instagram is not the fake Mia Khalifa. And yeah, I don't have Facebook or anything.
Doug, no Facebook. Those would be fake Facebook accounts.
Okay.
If you see that there.
And I think one of them is actually verified. So good for them for
Oh, they've actually been able to convince Facebook that it is really you, but it is not you.
Yeah, I think so.
For the record, it is not really Mia Khalifa. Mia Khalifa, our guest here on the Ryan Kelly Morning After. Now, you happen to be a Washington Capitals fan, but also a huge Florida State fan, correct?
Yes.
All right. So what went on with you, and which Ohio State player was it that you were trying to get to Tallahassee?
It was Braxton Miller.
Braxton
and,
Miller.
Hey, his career would have been a lot better if he decided to go play quarterback at Florida State.
Probably would have been.
That, right?
Probably would have been. Mm-hmm. Probably would have been, Doug.
Well, I think so. He had a pretty good career as it was.
Lives. Next time I try to recruit you, just go along with it.
Yeah, would have been a great career. All right. Mia, we're losing the signal a bit, so we're going to let you go. But thank you so much for dropping by the program.
Hey, thanks for having me.
There she is. Mia.
All right, thank you, Mia.
Mia Khalifa here on the Ryan Kelly Morning After. Doug, that was on the appliance discounter phone lines.
Mm-hmm.
Hell broke loose when Iggy asked about her sexual.
Well, I didn't mean it to sound creepy. I mean, she's 23 years old and she just got out of porn. So I could go back 5 years when you're 18. You just seemed to enjoy what you were doing for a girl just getting into the business. So were you sexually active before that you really enjoyed it? How creepy? Why is that creepy?
Well, I figured she was offended by the question because she said she wasn't born in 98 when the Capitals... Am I doing bad math here?
No, I was looking at the Wikipedia page. It said she was born in 93, and she said the Capitals were in the finals in 98, and then she said that was before I was born, so the whole thing didn't quite add
Once
up.
Once again, as Gabe said, someone...
Well, maybe she thought it was 88. Maybe she thought you said 88.
Yeah, I thought she was 23. I didn't pay attention to the 98 thing. I wasn't going to... And Dave Green even texted me, she needs to do her math better.
From the 314, it was a creepy question.
Yeah, well, I'm sorry.
From Brandon in St. Charles, that whole interview got awkward right after Iggy's question. From Ray King, Iggy, you creepy bastard. Way to screw up the interview.
Oh, wow.
Damn it, Iggy, I like you, but you crossed the creepy line. Never go full creeper. That's from Jamie Moyer's Fancy
Foyer. You
know,
if she was in an elevator, there could have been someone else standing next to her, and she didn't want to get into all that with another person right there.
Yeah, but she answered the Bang Brothers question pretty
usually
easily.
Usually you don't have a Westie yapping in an elevator.
Yeah. And then I heard ringing. I heard, Doug, I heard whistles.
I heard whistles.
I heard the Bang Brothers were all family. She had no problem answering that.
Yeah, but we also don't have to go all Johnny Cochran on this woman trying to piece together.
She looked
like... The tough thing going in, as I say, here's some inside baseball for the audience. In a rare case of stag industry, I'm not that familiar with her, honestly. People have asked to get her on the show. And I had no idea she was coming on until the Sea Monster emailed me yesterday. So I'm like, oh, sweet. But I told Iggy and the Plowhawk, I said, I really don't know much about her. And I don't know now that she has gotten out of the industry. And clearly she didn't like it after only being in it for 3 months. That unlike when we have the women who are active in it and enjoying it, at least at the moment, you know they're going to play ball. Which is why I personally, and then why, no, not coincidentally, they're always the most downloaded segments, enjoy... the stag interviews, because if you're comfortable banging on camera, you're going to be comfortable doing a stupid radio interview. So you're going to get random material. But in this one, going into it, I'm like, you know, I don't know what the hell to ask her because I don't know if she wants to talk about that stuff. And then it can get awkward if I ask her about something and she doesn't want to talk about it.
Yeah, I took care of that for you, though.
And I'm not a fan of the girls who make, I mean, she's now huge, 1.4 million Twitter followers because of porn. But it almost seemed like she hated it. Like, she would not be in the position that she's in without porn. And I understand the creepy guys. You don't want to sign every autograph, take all the pictures. But she acted as if, like, she was surprised that that wasn't going to be the case. If you're in porn as long and do as many videos as you did, I think 20 or so, you're going to have creepy guys come up to you and sign autograph. But porn made her career, and I kind of hate that she kind of poo-pooed it like, oh, no, it's...
But it's clear she completely regrets it.
Yes.
It's not something she's happy about or necessarily proud of, and it's caused her a rift in her family and maybe can't go back home. I'm sure she's disappointed that she made that choice, and now she's just trying to make the best of it.
Well, I ask the question basically because if you've seen girls that have only done porn for 3 months and get out of it because it wasn't what I thought, I hated it. If you watch some of the early videos of these girls, they're very timid. You almost feel sorry for them because, God, does she really need the money that bad?
Okay, so
because
now you're going
she doesn't.
Back to the earlier,
yeah, I'm going to say why I asked the question, because they look so timid. But if you watch her videos, I mean, she's enjoying the hell out of herself. So that's why I asked the question.
Guys, it's like R. Kelly is in Iggy's body and running around there. It's from Manchild 79 who just shipped the text of the day. Got himself a free roast beef sandwich from Lion's Choice.
Very, very appropriate.
I think if I was her, I would have just said, change your name completely, start all over. Maybe nobody finds out.
But
maybe
if she wants to get into sports media, she's capitalizing on the fact that she has these social media platforms, and so therefore you can't have both.
No, you can't. So, but if she really wants to put that behind her where that doesn't just haunt her the rest of her life, she should have done that.
But, you know, I mean, we were talking about, I mean, if you don't listen to the whole show, and unfortunately people who podcast, they listen to the vast majority of the show, but earlier when we were talking about it, we did talk about why she was so, you know, was receiving death threats in the Middle East because she's from Lebanon and they felt like she disgraced the country. But she not only shot a stag film, that's one thing, but that the scene that she said when the producer came in, she said, you're going to get me killed, is that she shot a sex scene wearing a hijab. And that was the thing that got all of the attention.
At some point you have to say no.
Yeah. And for somebody who clear, I mean, for as much as we joke about the smart and clean thing, you could tell she's intelligent versus some of our other friends who have dropped by the program over the last few months. And I'm just surprised that in that moment she wasn't like, yeah, I'm not doing that. But, you know, she says, I obviously, with the benefit of hindsight, I regret it. But, you know, I'm surprised in the moment.
Her caps knowledge is unparalleled.
Agree with that.
And if you're 20 years old or 21 and maybe you've
Might have been 30. We don't really know.
Had a couple drinks or snorted something. Perhaps you don't make the best decision.
Like, one time I shot, like, a cuckold scene with, like, my dad and my brother, and that was a lot of fun to shoot.
You shouldn't be doing it when you're 9 years old. She sounded nine.
And here's the reality of any question in any interview. I truly believe this. And I would imagine, Doug, the cat, you would agree. As the people asking the questions, we are always at the mercy of the person we're interviewing. And if that person says it's a bad question and reacts awkwardly, all of a sudden, even if it wasn't a bad question,
everyone's
like, wow, that was awkward. So,
but we all do that too. We pile on. That's the nature of the show.
We pile on, but this was a guest we don't know hitting Iggy, and that's what that was.
I didn't find it an awkward question, so I don't really care.
Is she going to make the top 30 now?
Yeah, go down and break in the Ovechkin line for us. We'll tune back in for that.
her caps knowledge is unparalleled.
Iggy is a creepy idiot. Porn stars are supposed to act like they enjoy it. Why do you need to know she was sexually active as a preteen? That's from Roy Pepperpaws.
Because she quit after 3 months.
Was it Mickey?
And she said she made a mistake. So obviously, if you know you didn't want to get into it, then you don't look like you're enjoying yourself from day one and have done it forever.
All right, don't get hot about it.
She was a pro. She was a poor porno person.
Yeah, but whose list is that you're compiling?
I asked the question. Right. I asked the question, so it was my list.
You're on to the top 30. Can't you do that?
You were number one on Pornhub, too, buddy.
Guys, wasn't Mickey Rooney one of the Bang Brothers? Unrelated, he never consummated his marriage to Ava Gardner. I'm sure of it. That's from the Dogtown Astrovan.
Is that still
your avatar on Twitter, Plow Capital?
Yeah, it is. And like I said, I sent you a
Mr. Yunioshi.
And I sent you a Snapchat a couple days ago. You still haven't.
I still haven't looked at it. I don't go on Snapchat too often.
Enjoy it. And it's topical now. Sure I sent it 2 days ago, but it ain't topical.
I don't even know if I know how to access the damn thing. Would it be good for marketing to be active on Snapchat?
I love it, but for you, it's only downside
Yeah, but for like, do radio guys do this?
Well, you can put cardinal birthdays on Snapchat.
Well, you can do the 10-second videos, save them, and compile them in your story to make it to where
Boy, I got a lot of messages on Snapchat. I just realized it.
Oh, I'm sure you do.
Holy moly. Larry Nichol sent me one 51 minutes ago. Let's see what that is. Oh, it's
why don't you do a little Snapchat video, Tim?
He just said good morning to me.
I think
that's good enough.
Isn't it Face Snap? Isn't that what they call it? Snap Face?
Instant chat, I think he called it.
Talking tomorrow morning. Good morning, Tim. Have a good day today.
Okay, that's thorough lemming behavior.
Good morning, Tim. Have a good day today.
Why are you on there?
It's a good drop. I think
why are you on there?
I just got up then, and sometimes he just shoots a story, and it says, good morning, Tim, across it in text.
But you know what? That was too much. Larry Nichol is about to have his name added to the thorough lemmings list, and it's going in there right now. And by adding that name, he doesn't need to call you and say good morning. But by being added to the thorough lemmings list, Larry is now awarded a free lemmings lunch.
I know
Plus, Hot Shots is offering up to a $100 gift card to each of our Email of the Month winners in 2017.
I think it's okay.
Cat just texted me, morning, Tim.
Good morning, Tim. Have a good day today.
No, these are
all Larry. Nerve, Nancy.
I have to tell you, these are all new, but his delivery is the same in every one of them because he's in a different location. It's furniture from the 60s each time.
Every morning he texts you good morning?
I didn't realize this because I'm just opening up these messages.
Well, maybe because you didn't answer him the first time, he keeps doing it until you're going to answer him.
Good night, Tim.
Good night. God bless it. You're on the list, Nixie.
Talk to you tomorrow morning.
We don't talk the next morning, though.
Good morning, Tim. Have a good day today.
Got to hear a bunch of these.
Good night, Tim. Talk to you tomorrow morning.
Okay.
Who's in the background? Is he at a party?
Good morning, Tim. Have a good day today.
Boy, on that one, Larry didn't get a good night's sleep.
Good night, Tim. Talk to you tomorrow morning. Good morning, Tim.
Good morning, Jim.
Have a good day today.
Have a good day today.
Good night, Tim.
Okay.
No, we get it, Tim.
I'm going through them all so it empties out.
Well, you don't have to do that on the air. Can't you have like your valet do it later today?
Good morning, Tim. Have a good day today.
It's just on a loop.
It's a different one every time.
Now here's what the plowhawk sent me. Screenshot that so you
I knew you'd like it. It's you can match your face to anybody that you have a picture of, and my picture of Mickey Rooney was my first one on my camera roll, and so I thought I'd mix my face in with Chinese Mickey Rooney.
Blue is Japanese, just for the record.
Oh, my bad. My
oh, yeah. Doesn't matter, right?
Okay. That's what I'm missing out on. Doug, that's what you're missing out on Snapchat.
Yeah. Boy, it does sound like a wonderful little app.
Guys, I get those from Larry, too. He must send out hundreds. It's from the 618.
Well, I mean, there are some open slots in his daily schedule, I would guess. So he fills it with Snapchat.
Yeah.
That's his routine right before he goes to bed. He wants to say goodnight to everybody.
Doug, what do you have? A big cold glass of Ovaltine, don't you?
At times, yeah. I do, yeah.
Iggy, that was a great question. That comes from Father Mulcahy.
Thanks, Padre.
He passed.
Yes, he did.
Just recently. A
couple weeks ago. Yeah. Well, bad
day,
question
though.
Or not bad. I don't care. I'm not going to have a porn star try to put me in my place.
Clip that off.
Wow.
But Iggy, you enjoy the adult entertainers.
I get along with 99% of the ones I know. I don't know this one, so.
She didn't really put you in her place. She just said, I'm uncomfortable answering that. She didn't
She called it a creepy question.
Oh, well, she did.
Yeah. You were in porn, and you're going to tell me I'm creepy? Look, I have no problem with it. I don't think porn stars are creepy, but...
I know, but you are now kind of lumping a whole group in there and looking down on them.
Lumping her into her own group.
This is what she's going to face the rest of her life.
Well, she might also face the wrath of ISIS.
No, but if you get into... There are certain businesses like this, like there are some sports sites that will... Like, God, who's the other porn star that's doing... Well, Julianne, isn't she doing... And there's another one who's on...
Lisa Ann does fantasy football
on there's somebody who's
she's
on Bleacher.
Really good.
Yeah, and there's somebody
really
who's on Bleacher Report. Didn't we have somebody on not too long ago? Wasn't Kendra Sutherland doing something on Bleacher Report?
Really?
But that's the kind of industry that nobody cares if you're in porn. They want you. But if she wants to go out and get a job in the real world and they know about this story, the chances of her getting one are slim.
Mm-hmm.
So Doug's question, I like Doug's question.
What
she
was
answered
his
that
question?
One.
I kind of
about changing her name and having a new identity.
Yeah, I believe for her own safety, that might be a wise thing to do.
It's funny, and I before Iggy asked that creepy question, which Iggy I didn't really think was that creepy.
I don't care.
I was going to ask her on her Wikipedia page. It said before she was in porn, she was working at a Whataburger, and a customer said, hey, you should... do porn, and that is how she got the idea.
Okay,
to do porn.
I'm gone. Yeah.
Now I'm not for sure how fabricated that is. It's not, it's Wikipedia. It's not
that
exactly.
kind of thing is true. I was thinking of getting into sports talk radio, and I was working at a Five Guys, and a guy said we ought to get in a sports talk radio, and so I did.
You took off the apron, got in your car, and just drove to a station, started spitting hot takes,
bought some time, and led to this.
Joe Roderick just texted me. He said he gets the same Larry good morning and good night snaps every day, too. I believe several members of the fan page and friends in Alton also get them. It has to be an hour-long process to send them personally to everyone. That's a whole thing. That's a whole thing.
He's very tech savvy.
Maybe I should text him to save time that I, for his sake, he doesn't need to send me one. We will have an understanding that we both wish each other a good evening and a good morning. And then he can cross me off the list.
And also, tweeting 347,000 times also takes some time, Joe. It was a Roderick shot.
I caught it is what I did. Doug Bertarelli-Cutler, do you know anything about him? I'll tell you what, we'll be celebrating Bertarelli-Cutler this time tomorrow because it'll be Cuts of the Week time. Wait.
I know a lot about chop, and I know a lot about cheeky, and that's what Bertarelli-Cutler is standing ready to do, and that's chop cheeky. You know, they've got an inventory reduction sale going on until February 17th. You get 20 to 50% off all selected items. Well, that's in the retail portion of the store. Great Valentine's gifts for the top chef in your life. Not just knives, they feature Vitamix blenders, ScanPan nonstick cookware, and John Boo's cutting boards and kitchen islands. You can sharpen blades in 30 minutes there at Bertarelli Cutlery. That's really their specialty. This is their 50th anniversary. Visit them today at 1927 Marconi on the Hill, or you can shop online at BertarelliCutlery.com. 1927 Marconi on the Hill. Longtime sponsors, Marco Bertarelli and the Clan.
A great family.
Mm-hmm.
Bertarelli Cutlery, yeah. Bertarelli Paper. Make sure you're doing business with Bertarelli Cutlery. You can email in the morning after at InsideSTL.com. We have our Hot Shots email of the day coming your way in about 3 minutes here. Then we have Frank Cusimano and the Hollywood Casino Press Box. If you missed anything, Kelly Chase, Mia Khalifa, and also Ray Hartman on the MLS developments. You can podcast like the Dickens, download, just subscribe on iTunes. That's the move. That's how, I mean, that really is how I listen to radio now. PLTD. You know, I live stream the line change, you know, so I do, Doug, if I'm in there tightening it up.
Yeah.
Oftentimes I'm doing that in the afternoon, and it's perfect. I can just live stream it.
How do you go about doing that on iTunes? You got to pay for that.
Yeah, no problem. No. Here, I assume you have the podcasts app. You might not know you do, but you have the podcasts app. It's already in there on your phone.
Okay.
It's a purple app.
I see it, yeah.
Okay, click on that.
Oh, I'm clicking now.
All right. And then hit in the lower right-hand corner, search.
Little search thing, yeah.
And then type in the podcast that you'd be interested in.
Okay.
And all of a sudden, you're never switching around radio stations anymore. This is the future, baby. You might like Bill O'Reilly's show, for example, and I'm not saying that to sharpshoot you. I DVR Bill O'Reilly's, and so that's on podcast.
Okay.
And then you can just listen, and you got it, and you're not switching around. You got your content. We have this, whatever, 20, 25-minute drive to and fro. Now you can settle in.
Okay, I'll settle.
I think you'll be happy once you do it. I think just at first people are just like, I don't know how to do it, so I'm not going to do it. But then all of a sudden you do it. You go,
well, you know, my next
easy.
Problem is it's not loud enough on the phone. If I'm in the car, that's about the only time I really have time to podcast is in the car. I got to hook that up to the stereo so I can hear it well, right?
Well, I assume it's Bluetooth, right? And that whip you got.
I don't know. I don't do any Bluetoothing.
I'm sure you do. I'm sure you have Bluetooth in there.
I don't do any Bluetoothing.
You could podcast at the Four Fox if you wanted to.
I don't know. I can't just sit there at my desk and podcast radio stations.
Are you writing at your desk?
Well, there's
editing?
Other people close to me. Yeah, I can't run a radio station right next to where I am.
Brother. I podcast like the Dickens.
Oh, you don't.
Every show.
All shows.
Yep.
All right.
I'm a lemming for all the shows. You know that.
Just on this station, though. Not all shows everywhere.
Yes.
All right. I'm still a sucker for live radio. Hard to get over that.
I remember the time I was at the office and Pat Parris, who's no longer there, came up and said, Jim, can I ask you a question about the rundown? I said, not now. I'm podcasting.
Oh, sure.
Got us sideways.
And it made him so mad he went off to Tucson.
Yep. He said, well, they don't podcast in Tucson. That's where I'm going.
I wouldn't think so.
They don't have the technology there yet.
Yeah. Western town. Probably had to ride a horse all the way to Tucson.
Boy.
Doesn't that seem like the kind of place you'd go on your horse? Well, yeah, I got to go to Tucson.
Well, on the weather we've been having, I wouldn't mind a little Tucson exposure now.
Yeah, that wouldn't be bad. Tucson gets a little chilly, though, doesn't it?
Does it? I don't know. Seems like it's going to be warm all the time.
I don't know. Isn't that northern Arizona, kind of in the mountains?
Yeah, but I didn't study the state of Arizona proper to know the climate change from north to south or east to west.
Yeah, Flagstaff gets cold.
You know.
But not like St. Louis cold, right?
I wouldn't think so.
Yeah.
I mean, but
maybe,
I don't know.
Maybe cold to them is, you know, 54 degrees.
I didn't realize.
That's a warm snap.
I didn't really have a primer on that when I studied at university.
Doug, this is from Iggy's Creepy Hand. Yes, Iggy's Creepy Hand.
Oh, hello, Iggs.
Tim?
Yep.
Why hasn't this boxing match been changed to the family arena yet?
Doug, last night, and I'm currently discussing it with the gentleman. Gentleman posted, and you can always kind of tell what's going on. Anytime like I'll make a programming move, which I oftentimes don't necessarily have the final say on, the people who aren't regular posters suddenly appear, i.e. New accounts. And so this person said, and this is along the same lines, boxing event's a charity event. It's not a business venture. If this event is already sold out and this many people want to see it, why isn't it at a bigger location, say Family Arena? I mean, South Broadway Athletic Club is for underground wrestling. And I asked the question in response to the gentleman who I had never seen post on our page. When you put on your boxing events, why did you make the decision to host them where you did? And the premise being, I have access to financial information that isn't public, and that is what leads to the decision, which is always the case for any business. However, in radio and sports, and I understand because people listen and therefore they think they know all the details, so that's why I don't necessarily get angry about it, because I understand that before I was in this, on this side of the desk, that I used to say things that now I realize were just asinine because I didn't know the financials or the ramifications or all the politics of things. So for the record, the reason being is because our goal, particularly Ryan's and mine, is to maximize the income for the charity, the three charities, Three Little Birds for Life, Friends of Kids with Cancer, and Catherine Cares. So moving it to, say, a casino, which is some venues we talk to, moving it, and again, you have to do this stuff in advance. You can't go, we sold this many tickets, so now we'll move it here. Oh, we sold that many tickets, now we can move it here. That's not how it works. But there's additional cost to it. And so if you have additional costs, then what that does is it reduces your margin. And in this case, the margin is for charity. And just being real straightforward, you know, the reality is, even though this thing is clearly, this business has clearly grown over the last few years, it's still a very small business relative to, you know, other radio stations. This what I'm doing is the equivalent to if Bernie Miklas what got done with his show and then started running 101. You know, it's not the easiest or funnest way to live, I can tell you. And so, you know, I'm operating a radio station and also a website and then hosting, you know, the show that is essentially responsible for the radio station, also being real candid. And therefore, to take on something that is strictly a charitable endeavor and then add risk to it that might therefore take away dollars for the charities, in my analytics, makes little sense. So that is why we did the South Broadway Athletic Club, because it costs us, relatively speaking, very little versus doing it at a casino, which also would have delayed it when there would have been a lot more red tape, or at a family arena or Chaffetz Arena. And then somebody cited like an MMA, Jesse Finney, I think, what he does with some places. And I understand that, but that's a business. This is a charity. So those are the differences. So to give the person the answer, and the person continues to dig in because he just doesn't want to be embarrassed, which he already has been. But, you know, that's the honest reason. So, you know, I mean, it's a charitable endeavor. I'm not, you know, the company will make some money, a small amount relative to what the operating expenses are for the business, off of some sponsorships, but it, truthfully, it really is a charitable endeavor. And it, you know, for me and for our vice president of sales, Dave Green, and our senior account executive, Melissa Marr, and a number of people involved with it, it's going to take some time away from actually operating the business. And when you only have X amount of people operating the business, you know, you have to be careful with that, because we have a responsibility with 45 people now receiving paychecks as this company continues to grow to make sure that we tend to the business also while trying to do charitable endeavors. So that's the honest answer. If someone disagrees with it, you know, I certainly welcome a discussion about it. But the tough thing is to have a discussion with somebody when they don't have the financials that I have.
You know, so that's the reasoning. Yeah, I hope that explains it.
He didn't answer the question. Why did he choose a venue he decided to when he hosted his boxing event? He didn't.
Hasn't answered it yet.
Mm-mm. Well, Family Arena sits like 10,000-12,000, doesn't it?
Well, it's a different way that I think, and I guess kind of it's one of those things. You know, when you get in a spot after a while, and I guess it might be why things have worked out for the business because of focusing, and it's the thing that we make fun of Nick Saban for. He always uses the word the process, but if you get your cards in with, if you get pocket aces and you have a chance to go all in, you go all in. But if you lose, that doesn't mean you made the wrong move. See what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So sometimes things don't work out, but in the moment, that's where you evaluate your decision with the data that you have. So we didn't know that the thing would sell out in 30 hours, but I also know something that everybody else didn't know, which is the financials and all of the red tape that went on with trying to do it at a bigger venue like a casino, much less a Chaffetz Arena or Family Arena or Scott Trade or something like that. Availability, people's schedules, all of these things that come into play. And again, the most important one is always financial. So that's the reason. And also, you know, the other thing, it'd be easy to get irritated because I know what the company's sweat equity is in the project versus what the company is actually generating. So to take time away from that for what truly is a charitable endeavor, that's, you know, and then to receive criticism about it when it sells out in 30 hours. And I know that, you know, after our minimal relative to other venues expenses is taken away and covered, all of that money is going to Catherine Karras, Friends of Kids with Cancer, and Three Little Birds for Life. And then you have people criticizing it. But truthfully, it's one person, so that's why the person's calling in. And
he didn't get tickets.
Yeah, and that's what
he waited too long.
That, of course, is the root of the situation.
But
results oriented, and I just don't do results oriented. You evaluate results, but I don't beat myself up over a bad result. If I made a decision going into the decision knowing that it's a bad move, and then it works out poorly, I only have myself to blame. But you can't go, oh, it's sold out in 30 hours. Now we got to move it to a bigger location.
Yeah, or, just oh, move no. it. It's easy.
And so it's just not how it works. And that's, you know. And like I said, we've also been doing this stuff long enough to know that there are people, and understandably so, who don't have the information that we have because we have to keep stuff internal. I mean, even during the Dan Marshall thing, we just sat there and took that crap. We knew it was going on, and we knew it was a joke, and we knew he was what he was. But we just had to sit there because if I wig out, then all of us and then all of the people behind the scenes don't have a source to get their income for the next 3 months. And I'm not doing anything heroic. That's just reality. That's just how you have to handle it. So you have to execute some kind of restraint. But I'm happy to explain things to the audience when I have the opportunity to do so. But at the same time, I don't make financials public. But I assure you, when I'm making decisions, it's not like, ooh, I'm trying to screw that person over. It's always based on money. And the 12 years, almost 12 years Inside STL's been around, we've fired less than 10 people, which is really almost sad because it illustrates to me a weakness on my part, because it's almost mathematically impossible to not fire more people than that. And I can only think of like a couple that were behavioral. Everything else is always just, it's a financial thing and it's business. But in radio, and I think part of it's because of the way Dan Caesar presents it, and then some of the people who he gets quotes from, it's portrayed as like it's like TMZ and soap opera stuff, when in reality, it's just business. It's just math. And if somebody's generating revenue and conducts themselves professionally, I'd be an ass to not want that person around. But sometimes you have to make cuts, and that's just business, just like any other business. So the root of a charity endeavor, it was based on what was going to keep the overhead as low as possible to therefore maximize the dollars that would go to the three charities. That's it. It's kind of simple, but, you know, I also understand people don't have that information at their disposal. And so, you know, I think most people just kind of go, yeah, I don't know what led to the reasoning, but why would I bust somebody's balls over a charity event? And, you know, somebody who at this point has done some events that have been charitable and have worked out. But whatever. It's, you know, if somebody wants to ask about it, that's the reasoning. So hopefully that fully explains it. If it doesn't, I'll be happy to attempt to explain better. Did that explain it? I don't know.
Oh, sure. Oh, I know where you're coming from. When I needed a used car, I bought an old LeBaron. I didn't buy a Maserati. Those are my financials.
Nice. Nice take.
I think the Family Arena would have been way too much. Too big. You talk about a risk for taking a bath. That would have been too much. It sounds like this is working out perfectly. It's going to be more fun that it's a packed house, that people are jammed in there.
You're squished up against a lot of different people. You'll like that.
Well, I won't be able to be there because I'll be doing lady journalism.
You won't be at the scrap?
Well, the scrap is like 10 o'clock. I can't do that on a Friday night. I'll have to watch it on the video somewhere.
Closed circuit.
Yeah.
All right. I have a very short amount of time now for emails, but I wanted to answer that. Because I kept getting a million texts about him, kind of like, oh, it's one guy. It's not like it's a bunch of guys, but then somebody calls in. I put him on the air, and that's my fault because I didn't know what the hell he was going to ask about. It's time for the Hot Shots email of the day. Giving away Lemmings lunch. Well, guys, I was right again. I'm sure none of you remember my email from Monday, mainly because two of you really don't care, and the gay one is a senior citizen. But please allow me to refresh your memory. Hey, Tim, get ready for these things to happen to you in the near future. Number one, someone who thought they would get in free was told they or their friends would have to purchase tickets. Number two, I got caught up at work and couldn't get tickets, got any left. Number three, geez, Tim, why didn't you get a bigger venue? You knew this would sell out quick. Yep, my three-team parlay hit real nice, like, call me the Oracle. Wait, I have a vision coming now. It's fight night. Someone is happy. Wow, someone is erect with happiness. The fight is long since over, and I can barely see his face due to the obstruction of Doug's taint. It's Injun Joe, and it's an especially aggressive mustache ride. Good Lord, Doug, he's a human being, not the bull at Ballpark Village. That's Matt, who bowls at Hank's. So he's the Nostradamus, and he says you're going to...
Matt, who bowls at Hank's.
Guys, Plops here. Tim, God bless it. You wouldn't know this unless you listen back to the whole show, so damn it, I'll just tell you. 7:54 a.m., you're talking about why people should advertise with the station, why there's a value with this particular station, etc., which, by the way, I 150% agree with. Well, the signal cut out for 5 seconds. I was like Darren decided to go get a juice box out of his car and literally tripped over the cord, pulling the plug. Then he fumbled around a few seconds, desperately trying to stick it in before anyone noticed, something Doug has seen me do as recent as 5 a.m. this morning. Anyway, remember how I kind of told you guys I once kidnapped a gay waiter? Yeah, anyway, court fees are a B. Maybe someone out there with some advertising dollars to spend would like to just hop on the old Plops value train and help a fellow out with some legal fees. 37 grand should do the trick. Hit me up, boo. Misty Plops.
Misty Plops.
And finally, because director, we're short on time, morning, fellas. When I hear the name Mia Khalifa, I think of Wiz Khalifa. And when I think of Wiz Khalifa, I think of the time I whizzed in a dog bowl and made Doug drink out of it while spanking his bare bottom.
Awful. Who is it?
Hipster of Tower Grove. Stop. You and him have kind of run into some problems lately.
He's too bad. He tries too hard.
Okay. If that's it, I can't place a vote, so I'm going to abstain courteously.
Yeah, I didn't hear anything worth voting for either.
No, that means my vote has total control. Matt, okay, who bowls at Hanks, has just won the email of the day. An abbreviated version. He has won a Hot Shots Lemmings lunch. It's the Lion's Choice famous roast beef. Handoff to Frank Cusimano in the Hollywood Casino Press Box for the Plow Capital, for Iggy, for the Sea Monster, for my brother Kevin, for Douglas Elvin Vaughn, for Jimmy the Cat Hayes. I'm Tim McKernan. This has been the Ryan Kelly Morning After on the all-new 590 The Fan, KFNS 105.7 HD2 FM, and InsideSTL.com live from the Gateway Buick GMC Studios.